What we need right now is hope. Because of that, here at Sharing the Light, we've chosen to bring out one of our most requested vintage series, I Hope So, from Pastor Alan Wright.
When you're married to the law, Paul says, your sin was aroused because you either are trying so hard to keep it that you miss the mark, or you get so depressed from all the anxiety that you've turned inward that you can't function anymore, so now you're disappointing even more, or you rebel altogether and say, I'll have nothing to do with what's holy and right. It caused there to be an impossible situation.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright, welcome to Sharing the Light, a program of healing and hope, sharing the good news of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Hi, I'm Daniel Britt, eager for you to hear Alan's message in a series called I Hope So, taken from the pulpit at Renolda Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. If you want to know more about I Hope So, listen up next here on Sharing the Light. Get Alan Wright's daily Sharing the Light devotional when you sign up at sharingthelight.org. And stay with us at the end of today's broadcast for a special offer to help you in your spiritual life. Here now with today's teaching is Alan Wright.
Paul says, if you're married to the law, that not only does it limit the freedom of your song, but also, he says at verse 5 of Romans 7, that while we were living in the flesh, and by the flesh here he means the old way of our fallen nature, trying out of human will to keep the law. That's really what he means by the flesh here. That while we're living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law, not caused by the law. The law was not responsible for sin. The law came in alongside of sin. But when the law is alongside of the flesh, our sinful passions are aroused and it bears fruit for death. It is, as we've seen in recent messages, obvious that the very fact that something is forbidden by law can draw our attention to it. St. Augustine said that as a youth, he once stole some pears from the pear orchard next door. And he said, this was most interesting to me because I did not like pears and I was not hungry. But the fact that they were fenced off and forbidden, he got a pear. It can arouse our sin nature in that way, but more so when you're married to Mr. Perfect Law and you're trying yourself to be perfect, isn't it amazing how things can get worse because we're trying to be so dutifully perfect? This is why perfectionism is an enemy to relationship and to all that is good. I was thinking of a story perhaps I shared some time back last year, I think it was. We were driving to the beach, and for some reason, we're taking both cars. And it has got Abby in her car. I've got Bennett with me, and we're traveling to the beach. And we're already hungry, and we need to stop and get some lunch. It's growing late. And we're trying to get a few miles behind us. And so we get down there into the area of Ashboro and just south of Ashboro, where you're starting to go into no man's land for a while until you get to Rockingham. And we didn't want to wait till Rockingham to eat. We're too hungry for that. So I'm talking to her on the phone and saying, where would you like to eat? And I wanted to please my wife. I wanted to get the perfect stopping place, which would in this situation mean that it's fast, but not fast food. And I wanted it to be just right because I knew that she wouldn't want to just eat at a fast food place, and yet we couldn't take a long time to eat a meal. So I said, honey, I said, I've got my new GPS deal on my BlackBerry, and so I can look up the restaurants in the area, showing off my cool ability to find points of interest in restaurants within whatever radius we desire. And she's like, well, okay. She said, you know, that's fine. I said, where would you like to eat? She said, you know, really, anything's fine. She said, I think, you know, preferably not a fast food place, but that'd be fine. Just, she said, if we do, preferably not Hardee's. She says, I don't know if Hardee's has a salad. McDonald's has got a salad, and that's what I'd like. She said, but I'll be fine with anything. I said, okay, we'll find us a place. But then I said, Bennett, get the crank up the GPS, search the information. We're going to find a great, quick, but non-fast food place that mom's going to love, and we're going to, and I was just, this is my commitment to be the perfect husband. And so he searches and finds that there's a deli that's a few miles off the road that we could find using the GPS. I call her back. I said, there's an interesting deli. She said, well, that sounds good. I said, it's a few miles off the road. She said, well, you know, as long as it's not too far. I said, okay. I put the thing down and I said, Bennett, navigate quick. Well, the thing's a little slow cranking itself up, and eventually it comes up and it says, make the next legal U-turn. And I realized that we've passed this place, and we've passed that place, honey. We'll keep searching for it. She said, well, that's fine. She said, I'm fine with anything, just, you know, preferably not Hardee's. I said, fine. So we go back, and every time that he'd get the information up, it'd be, we just passed it, a couple miles just right back that way, and we didn't want to, I mean, I am a man. I'm not going to turn around and lose progress on a trip. I was already going to be letting a lot of cars go by just by the fact we're stopping for lunch, but I'm not going to go backwards and let even more cars go by. But I still want to be the perfect husband and find the perfect place to eat. So we keep, you know, the thing. Finally, time is going by. We are running out of space. There's going to be nothing left, and then it's going to be Rockingham. And Rockingham is not going to make my wife happy because we're already hungry and everybody's ready to eat. So finally, in desperation, there's like one place left that comes up on there. It's McDonald's. And it says, go up next exit, take a left, 1.8 miles. So we go up, and it's ironically, as we pull off the exit, there on the right was a Hardee's. We turn left, drive 1.8 miles, and 2.8 miles. GPS is freaking out. We're in the boondocks. I go 5 miles, and we're in the middle of no man's land, and I finally pull over. Ann pulls over behind me. I call her. I said, there's supposed to have been a McDonald's down here. She said, oh, I thought you had found a shortcut to the beach. Starving. So I turn around and we drive 5 miles back and eat at Hardee's. I wanted to be perfect, but in my attempt to be perfect, not wanting to disappoint my wife at all, led me into the only thing that could have disappointed her. When you're married to the law, Paul says, your sin was aroused because you either are trying so hard to keep it that you miss the mark, or you get so depressed from all the anxiety that you've turned inward that you can't function anymore. So now you're disappointing even more. Or you rebel altogether and say, I'll have nothing to do with what's holy and right. I can't stand it anymore. In any event, he said the law was not wrong, but when the law got juxtaposed next to sin and you in your flesh were married to the law, it caused there to be an impossible situation.
That's Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Remember how you felt as a kid the day before Christmas? Empty stockings hanging by the fireplace just waiting to be filled. Colorful packages just waiting to be ripped open. It's a wonderful feeling when you're certain that something good is coming. And there's a word for that posture of heart. Hope. Biblical hope isn't about pie-in-the-sky dreams. It's about certainty of a blessed future. If a child says, "I hope I get a pony for Christmas," that's wishful thinking. But if a child says, "I don't know what I'm going to get for Christmas, but I know it's going to be good," that is hope. If you're ready for fresh hope, join Pastor Alan Wright for an amazing exploration of Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. It's a 12-message CD album called I Hope So. You'll delve deep into the waters of grace, where you'll discover why the law cannot save, heal, or deliver. You'll discover how hope can set you free and make you alive on the inside. It's Pastor Alan Wright's CD album, I Hope So. Maybe it's time for you to feel like a kid at Christmas again. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Sharing the Light Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860 or come to our website, sharingthelight.org.
You're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
Turn with me to Exodus chapter 19, second book of your Bible, chapter 19. The giving of the law to Moses comes at Mount Sinai, and in chapter 19 of Exodus, you hear the covenant spoken midway at verse 3 of Exodus 19. This is the covenant of the law. The Lord called to Moses out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, if you'll do that, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. You see the heart of God throbbing there, don't you? I treasure you. I want to possess you. I want you to be with me. I want you to be a kingdom of priests, which means you have intimate, full access to the throne, and you're set apart as a holy people to be blessed in a land of your inheritance. This is the heart of God. So Moses called the elders and the people, set before them all of these words that the Lord had commanded him. The law came. The proposal was made, and the bride, the people of God, verse 8, all the people answered together and said, "We do. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." We are persuaded, and the people were married through the law, to the law, a covenant of the law. Immediately upon their acceptance of this proposal and the wedding of the people and the law, God began to give protective instructions. Verse 10, Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people, consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people, and you shall set limits." This is the grace of God, setting limits so that people will not profane themselves and come too close to that which is holy, thus bringing about their own destruction. Set limits for the people all around, saying, "Take care not to go up into the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death." You can't get too close because the glory of God will consume you like a holy fire because you're not pure enough. Even though you will consecrate yourself and you'll go through the rituals that I give you, you are still caught up in the fact that even the best of you still has dust. You'll never be able to come into direct contact with the glory of God. I want you so much, but in this covenant, you must be protected. So the people were persuaded and the people were given laws of protection. But what they would never have is a reliability or security of the blessings of this covenant. And the reason that they would not and could not is because if a pure and holy and righteous God makes a covenant with an impure people who even try their best will never be able to be without sin by their own efforts. And you've made a covenant that says, if you will obey all of my commands, then you'll be my treasured possession and you will receive your inheritance and you will be blessed. The covenant is utterly unreliable because it rests upon the ability of the people to not sin. The old covenant of law rested not only on the promise, provision, and persuasion of God, but on the capacity of a sinful people to not sin. That's why the hope prophesied through Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah and every prophet in one way or another pointed to a coming day of the Lord, a coming time in which this current system and this covenant of the law will be transformed or superseded or somehow made altogether better. The day's coming, the Lord said, in which you will not try to live by an external code, but you're going to be married again. You're going to have a new life, and it's going to be by the means of the Holy Spirit coming within you. I will put my Spirit in my people, and my Spirit will empower them and cause them to keep my statutes. There is a different day that is coming, Jeremiah said in chapter 31, in which no longer will people say, oh, that we could know the Lord, for you will know the Lord. And I will work a new covenant out. I'll give them a new covenant. It will not be like the old covenant. Over and over it was foretold. And Joel said the time is coming in which not just a few priests will have this intimate access to hear my voice. Not just Moses on a mountain, but all flesh will receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That day is coming. And what Paul recognized is he spoke to Christians and wrote to people who had encountered the Holy Spirit, had encountered the gospel, had received the gospel, was how much they were hindered by being pulled back into the flesh, into the old nature that didn't know any better than to just try to keep the written code. And what he's saying is you must understand that that spouse has died. You are no more still bound to the code of the law of the old way of living than a woman would be bound to a husband who's in the grave. You're not bound. That had its day. That had its purpose. The law was good. The law came. The law helped direct. The law pointed out our need for Christ. The law pointed out our sin. It was part of the revelation. But you've died to the law through the body of Christ. Therefore, be alive to the newness of the Spirit. You'll never be free, fully available to God if you come back under that old system. And he wants, church, for us to be empowered and to receive the bountiful inheritance that's always been in the throbbing heart of a loving God. So what did he change? Back in Romans, look one more time, verse 4, my brothers, you have died to the law through the body of Christ so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead. That through the body of Christ, somehow in the mystery of the gospel, in some mystical way, you died to the law through the body of Christ being crucified, so that you would no longer be married to the law, but you could be wed to another and belong to him who has been raised from the dead. What an extraordinary picture. But what it means is that by the mystery of God's plan, Jesus came, lived a sinless life, and was crucified, dead and buried. He was crucified as the penalty for my sin and your sin, for the sin of all who would receive him. And he died paying that penalty fully. He died paying the debt completely. So, for those who accept what he did on the cross, there's no more penalty and there's no more debt. This is so powerful and so real, God says, that your sin, you must understand, was not just paid for in a figurative way, but that your sin was actually put upon Jesus, or somehow he took it within his actual being, his body. And so my sin was crucified there. My old nature was crucified. This is why Paul can say we were crucified with Christ. It is as though we were also crucified, referring to the flesh, the old nature, and all of our sin, all of the penalty, all of the curse, all of the punishment, all of the debt, all of it completed. And Jesus, before he breathes his last, says, "It is finished." And because that has taken place, what's happened is something more than just the penalty being paid. At that same time that Jesus says it is finished, therefore, the whole system of law, fear, punishment, curse, and condemnation, all that system, because all the punishment, all the penalty, and all the debt was paid, the system itself becomes extinct and doesn't exist anymore. And instead, you're dead to the law. That's what it means.
Alan Wright, you're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching, Widows of the Law.
Remember how you felt as a kid the day before Christmas? Empty stockings hanging by the fireplace just waiting to be filled. Colorful packages just waiting to be ripped open. It's a wonderful feeling when you're certain that something good is coming. And there's a word for that posture of heart. Hope. Biblical hope isn't about pie-in-the-sky dreams. It's about certainty of a blessed future. If a child says, "I hope I get a pony for Christmas," that's wishful thinking. But if a child says, "I don't know what I'm going to get for Christmas, but I know it's going to be good," that is hope. If you're ready for fresh hope, join Pastor Alan Wright for an amazing exploration of Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. It's a 12-message CD album called I Hope So. You'll delve deep into the waters of grace, where you'll discover why the law cannot save, heal, or deliver. You'll discover how hope can set you free and make you alive on the inside. It's Pastor Alan Wright's CD album, I Hope So. Maybe it's time for you to feel like a kid at Christmas again. The gospel is shared when you give to Sharing the Light. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Sharing the Light Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860 or come to our website, sharingthelight.org.
Alan, this is good news for those who have been bound by rules and systems and a sense of try-harderness.
Yeah, it's an amazing image if you think about it, Daniel, isn't it? That he would say that you were wed to the law, and then you've become dead to the law, so you're like a widow to the law. That's how strong an image it is. He says, you know, once someone's spouse has died, they're no longer wed. And so what Paul is saying is the system of the law has gone away with Christ, and a new covenant has come. And so we are wed now to grace. And so give yourself over to grace. Give yourself over to the gospel of God's rich kindness in the new covenant, and it changes everything.
We're always encouraged to hear from you, whether you visit online at sharingthelight.org or call 877-LIGHT-60. Again, sharingthelight.org or call 877-LIGHT-60. Get Alan Wright's daily Sharing the Light devotional in your inbox each morning when you sign up at sharingthelight.org. This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright, a listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.